Thank you, Matt. It is good to be with you this morning. Reminded me a couple of weeks ago, I was driving over to Epsom, King's Church Epsom, to be part of their meeting there, and I was going through floods and all sorts of things, and I thought it was going to be the same today. It wasn't too bad, but there's quite a lot of water out there, so I've already been baptized. Or sprinkled or whatever. I've been covered by everything. So's my car. So we're arriving here in good spirits and good heart. Well done for being here and being part of the church. I'm going to speak this morning about a new season. There's a verse in the Bible that says this: you have never been this way before. And that's true every day, isn't it? You've not been that. No one knows what that day is going to bring. You can look back to days in your life where you thought one thing would happen and something else happened, quite significant, life-changing maybe. So you sometimes for the good, sometimes not good as well, for a challenge as well. But I want to encourage you as you take this step into a new season. And I just want to make sure that when I talk about stepping up into a new season, I'm not complaining about the old season, because you've been, so I'm not kind of saying in some way the old time was the desert and the new time is the promised land, because you've known something of the promised land already in God's ministry. It's good to see Dave and Ruth here, and we'll continue to pray for you both and thank God for you and your witness to God in leadership and out of leadership as well. We hope you have a great year this year, just being revived and restored, and things go well with your family. So what I'm not doing is kind of comparing or contrasting. I'm just saying it's a new season. It's a new season for you. And you've had, just be grateful, one change of leadership. I mean, the Tory party has had three. The country has had three changes of leadership. So, I mean, in some way, just be grateful we haven't moved on to another one. We're not thinking of doing that, are we, Tim? Right, okay, hallelujah. So we're doing okay. Be grateful for what you have in a good way and a positive way. So I'm not negative about the past. God has been at work in this church for decades, and he will continue to be at work. But there is a new season, and I think also that the pandemic has put a shift in some ways on church life. And I've mentioned this before, I have the privilege of serving other churches, and whether they're big or small, they've all gone through a challenge. And some of them are now only kind of in some way returning to what they were like pre-pandemic, and some haven't done that yet. And I read a book the other week, and it talked about the pandemic being like a gray zone for leaders, not really being clear, not able to be clear about vision and what was going to happen, the next steps, when things were going to change, when things were going to be restored or return. And would they even be restored to what they were like before? Did we want that? Or was that God bringing us to a new season? So it's been a big challenge for us all. I want to read from Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. I'm going to read from the NIV. It says, Joshua 3, verse 1. Remember that the people of God have kind of come out of, they're coming out of the desert. They're coming in towards the promised land, and they're ready to go over the Jordan. Moses has died, and Joshua's been encouraged and appointed as a new leader. And it's not as if he's got a new season without regard for what's happened, because the Lord says to Joshua, you be careful to obey all the things Moses taught you. You be careful not to move away from these values. So a new season doesn't mean to say we abandon the values that we've had, but actually there might be just a new context for us to work through, different battles to fight. So here's what happens. They've had a blessing of an inroad into Jericho, this mighty, mighty fortress city. But God's opened the door through Rahab, and they find out that the people in there are afraid of them. Right? They thought, wow, we should be afraid of Jericho. No, the people inside Jericho were afraid of the people of Israel. That's an interesting perspective, isn't it? because sometimes we think, oh, we're in the minority, and we are intimidated by others and fortresses of opposition or difficulty. But actually, Satan and his minions are afraid of the people of God. And we need to be bold and confident. So I'm going to read now. Joshua 3. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you're to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is in flood all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by, until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. So that's the context of them moving over into the promised land. They've got to face Jericho, but they're kind of, in some ways, being challenged now. Are you ready to cross? Are you ready to go? And the Lord gives some instructions. Be prepared. There's instruction, there's detail, there's repetition in this. Do you hear how many times the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, who is Lord of the whole earth? That's repeated a few times. The Lord of the whole earth. We need to hear that several times. We're not following the tail, we're following the head. Hallelujah. The one who is leading, who is Lord of all. And that brings to us a confidence, not a self-confidence, but a confidence in God, in who he is and what he can do when we obey. So will there be obedience? And as you in some way stand at the door of a new season, I can say to you, and it's an obvious thing, I've already said it, you've not been this way before. There's a change of leadership ahead of us. Some ideas, some plans, some hopes, some changes, but there'll always be challenges. Challenges of the past may return. We might face new challenges. But as God prepares his people to move, he gives out some explicit requirements from his people. And this is what he says to them. And this is my terminology. Clean up. Listen up, look up, and step up. Those things. He doesn't say give up. He doesn't say pack up. Right? He probably says shut up now and again. But he doesn't say those things. He says this. Listen. Clean up. Listen up. Look up. And step up. And these things are not for discussion. They're not for debate. God doesn't give holy suggestions. He gives commands. And you should take his word seriously. I'm going to bring in a kind of a quick way, but hopefully a helpful way, just apply some of those challenges to you. I know there's already a good spirit within the church. It has been, for many decades. But you've gone through a season, the pandemic and a change of leadership, and there's a need really in some way to deal with some things that might either distract or to learn practices or to listen up to what God is saying in maybe a fresh way. Maybe some old things need to be refreshed. Maybe some new things need to be said and done. But God is wanting you to be ready to move on. And all the time we appreciate those people who have already stepped up. Hallelujah. I'm grateful to your elders who have stepped up. Grateful to past elders who have stepped up. And there's many other people I know in this church who have stepped up and are doing a really good work. So I'm not really on a recruitment drive. I know you've got the big ask, but they didn't ask me to preach this morning to kind of then have a list of people to sign up to a rota. However, I do believe this. If you're a proper Christian, you will have been on a church rota somewhere at some time in your life. Right? I believe that. It's not in the Bible. That's just what I believe. Because actually, I think if you're a true believer, you play your part somehow at some time in your life in serving the local church. So I'm grateful, I'm sure you all are, for people who serve you faithfully in so many different ways, who have served you, sometimes adjusted their serving, sometimes stepped back for a season. I'm grateful for all. So it's not a complaint, but actually it's something you all need to hear. Not just the faithful people who already serve, but others may need to step up as well. The first requirement is this: clean up. Clean up. He says, consecrate yourselves. And it's important in some way that we realize sometimes there are things that just get familiar or dirty in our own lives. It's true. And the Lord comes and said, listen, get yourself sorted out. Come before me. Get cleaned up before me. Why take some of the dirt of the desert into the promised land? Why take some bad attitudes into the future? Why take some bitterness or sin into the future? There's an opportunity in transition to now and again kind of say, well, listen, Lord, I just want to clean my own heart up. Search my heart, Lord. Cleanse me so that I can serve you. And it's not as if we're neurotic, because we know we're not perfect. But actually, there's a sense sometimes we know maybe there are substantial things that we need to change in our hearts and attitudes. You read the New Testament, and it's a lot about sanctification. We have salvation through Jesus, but actually, there's sanctification, and that is through a process of learning to put off the flesh and put on the new man. Put off selfishness and put on servanthood. And sometimes we get stuck. Sometimes it's a season of our life. Sometimes we get older. We maybe feel we can do less. And I understand that. I'm getting old myself. Aren't we all? So there's different pace. But there's still a heart to do something for God. And that God wants to clean up our hearts. Amazingly, as I was preparing the sermon, and I went to print my sermon out, right, my printer said, It says, your nozzles need cleaning. And I thought, well, they may do, but shouldn't be so personal, really. Your nozzles need cleaning. So I had to kind of press a few buttons, and it kind of cleaned it out and whatever. And it's true with anything now and again. Your nozzles need cleaning. If you don't remember anything else, right? This is God's word for you this morning. Your nozzles need cleaning. It's true, isn't it? Because the flow of the goodness of God, the grace of God, the message of God, the gospel should flow freely through us. Otherwise, people don't get the message. Fortunately for you, the nozzles were cleaned, and I've printed out 2 hours worth of a sermon here. Aren't you pleased? Delighted, thrilled. Let's move on. A guy called Alan Redpath, who I remember hearing when I was a young man, said this: the full blessing in the Christian life is not given except to eager, hungry people who press in to receive it. And sometimes that pressing in means that we need to be cleansed in our own heart and attitude. Forget the old attitudes. Forget the ways of the desert. Put off the old and put on the new. Make sure the devil is messing around with your mind. The Bible says, you know, don't give the devil a foothold. You've heard me say probably before, right? If you give the devil a foothold and don't deal with it, he turns it into a stronghold. Don't give the devil a foothold in laziness. It'll become a stronghold. Don't give the devil a foothold in bitterness. It will turn it into a stronghold. We need to clean up. And there's a personal responsibility. We know we are cleansed through the work of Jesus. But actually, it's something that we play a part in coming and saying, Lord, just change me. Keep my heart soft. Help me. And we need to do it because there'll be new battles ahead. Canaan, for these people, is going to be a battleground. Even though there's a promise of milk and honey and a beautiful land, there's going to be battles as well. So where today do you need some cleansing? In your mind, in your words, in your actions, in what you watch, a lack of self-discipline? Why carry the dirt into another season? It's a time for us to just be renewing ourselves. What a waste of time to press on, right, with the old stuff still messing us up. And the promise is this. He says this in verse 5. For tomorrow, God will do amazing things among you. Isn't that a great promise? We just need to take a little step. Lord, just I make myself available. Just, Lord, I guard my own heart and my own attitude. Help me to put off the things that are spoiling me. Lord, I just want to be available. We know the Lord uses us in our imperfection, but we don't glory in our imperfection. We don't stay in our imperfection. We say, Lord, we want to be more like you, Lord Jesus. So we say no to these things. And then the promise comes, because tomorrow God will do amazing things among you. So God's directive to clean up your life is accompanied by a wonderful promise. Do you know God wants to use you? He will use you in your imperfection, but he wants your nozzles cleaning so you can flow easier for him. The next one is listen up. Clean up and listen up. Now, the people of Israel had had few new commands for nearly 40 years. Just mostly routine desert duties. But now they're coming to a new season. And chapter 3 is all about new commands, new directions from officers and from leaders. And it's important for us to listen. Now, God is a communicating God. The Bible is good for us to read God's word. God communicates it. It gets into our heart. It divides right the way in to our soul and our spirit. And it shows our motives and it cleans up. I'm amazed how many times I read the Bible. And I do read the Bible day by day. Now, I'm not holy in doing that. I just feel it's good for me. Right, I have a wash. I have a shower every day. You may not believe that, but I have a shower every day. Why not have a read of the Bible every day? It'll do me good. In fact, it does me better than the shower sometimes because it speaks into my life. God's word is living and active. And God is a communicating God. And we need to listen to orders and commands. And we're hopefully going to listen to God's word from our leaders, not just their own words. But they'll have different ideas, different thoughts, different plans. hopefully they correlate with God's will and God's ways. We need to be good in saying, is this biblical? Is there good values in it? But actually, what you're carrying forward is probably the same values. Maybe some practices will change. Maybe some focus will change. I'm not predicting that. It just is likely to happen. But we may need to listen to some new commands. I don't know what you're like if you ever go onto a plane and you kind of get in there and you kind of queued up and you eventually get on and you've stacked your luggage and whatever, you sit down and then you're waiting for the last people to get on and it seems to be ages, and then you're kind of thinking, let's get off, you know, let's fly. And then they do the safety demo. And you kind of think, I had a season in my life where I was flying quite a lot, and you kind of, if you're not careful, you get too familiar with it, don't you? And you kind of think, oh, I'll just carry on reading a book or, you know, listen to my music. But that safety demo is important, really important. I went on with Thomson Airways once, it must have been on a holiday, and they showed a safety demo on the video rather than having it, and it was children doing it. And I just thought that was brilliant. It just caught my attention. It was a different voice, a different way of doing it. I was on with Jet Air going from Mumbai down to Bangalore. And I was sat in the emergency exit, and the steward came to me and said, you're sitting near the emergency exit. I said, yes, I can see that. Yes, I know that. Do you know what you need to do? You need to open that door. If there's any problem, you need to know how to open that door. There's new instructions, different instructions. All right, now, I'm hoping there's no crashes or anything like that, but what happens is that we need to listen and listen carefully. I was also flying with Jet Air, and actually on the same flight, and they had an amazing announcement. They said, for people in the front 20 rows, if there's any difficulty with going to water, it says you've got a life jacket. For people in rows 20 to 40, hold on to your seat. I kind of thought, wow, well, there's some distinctive in class, isn't there? The front 20 rows get a life jacket. I've just got a cup holder my seat, hopefully. And then they explain, of course, it'll float. And it's good to listen. Fortunately, we didn't crash. But had we done and got into water, then I could have been looking for my life jacket and lost my life. Whereas actually, I needed to cling onto a seat, which was a different way of salvation for me. It's really important. You know, they tell you about the oxygen mask. If the oxygen mask comes down, then please, if you've got dependents around, then please make sure you put it on your own face first. That's a really important instruction. Look after yourself, a bit like cleaning yourself up. Look after yourself first, not because it's selfish, but actually you need to be in a good place in order to help others. If you've got dependents with you, like children or elderly parents, still put it on first yourself. And then look after your dependents. And it says if you've got two or three children, choose your favorite. No, it doesn't say that. They don't say that. But they kind of say, listen, you know, you're going to have to put the first thing first. Put it on yourself. You need to listen up. It's a new season. There's new commands. There's odd commands. Keep a 1,000-yard gap between you and the ark. Consecrate yourself. Stand in the flooded river. Pick up some stones because we're going to use them as a place of memorial later on. There's all sorts of different things. You and I probably would be tempted to argue. Get back into your tent and have a little discussion. What do you think about those instructions? Well, stand in the water. It's flooded. I'm not going to stand in them. Consecrate. What does it mean? Does he say, and I'm dirt? We need to listen up. Because God can speak very clearly to us, and we need to sort it out. And sometimes we're very, very kind of short-sighted in receiving instruction. Sometimes instruction comes that's good for us a long way down the line. I remember a story of a guy who was driving down a country lane, and it was quite narrow, and a car came the other way and slowed down, and wound his window down and shouted to the driver of the first car, "Pig!" And he thought, right, I'm not having that. "You stupid old bat," he shouted back and drove around the corner into the biggest pig he'd ever seen. You see, sometimes we think people are just being personal with us. You know, why is he having a go at me? We need to hear something that's a warning or something, an encouragement for way beyond. So listen, listen to God. Listen to your leaders. The next thing is this. Look up. It says, as the priests carry the ark, it said this, "See, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go ahead of you." Isn't that great encouragement? Look, this is God's presence, God's promise, God's power is ahead of you. Hallelujah. You see, God is not trying to now catch up with what's happening at Jubilee Church. He's not kind of talking to his PA or secretary and God saying, you know, "Ooh, look at what's happening down Jubilee Church. That's caught us out, hasn't it?" That's really, no, God is ahead of you. God knows. And he's working his purposes out in all of our lives. So we need to look up and be confident of God's presence. There are officers to look to. There are leaders. There's Joshua. But actually, above that, we need to know the presence of God with us as we move ahead. And I want to tell you, regarding Jubilee Church, God is not trailing behind. He's ahead of you. He's ahead of you, Dave and Ruth, right? He's ahead of you in whatever you're hoping and planning. And as you look to this year and consider the way ahead, he's ahead of you. And he loves you, and we love you as well. I want God to bless you. He's ahead of you, Tim. Right, Carney, Matt, right, he's ahead of you. He's not trailing behind, trying to catch up with what's going on. God is ahead of you. Lift up your eyes. Look up. God's with you. Respectfully look to the promises and the presence of God. Don't send fear. Don't send failures. Don't send fantasies ahead. But trust in God. Let faith win. See, a living and a fruitful faith looks to God's promises and God's people advance. When you look to the covenant promises of God, you can be confident you can go into a different land and God will be with you. Has God promised to build this church? Yes. Are the promises of God over this church? Yes. Let's be confident that God is ahead of us. Fear doesn't help. Complaint doesn't help. Fear and complaint would never find a place to cross a flooded river. Faith does. Faith goes to a full flooded river and stands in the river in obedience, and the river stops. And the church can advance. And also worry. Let's not send our worries ahead. Worry will never build a bridge strong enough for you to cross over a flooded river or get through a flooded river. Let's not be fearful. There's going to be challenges and battles ahead, but God is with us. And the last point is this. Step up. You need to act. Step up to the mark. There are seasons of rest. There are seasons of recuperation. But there should be no season of disobedience or laziness in our lives. We should be available to the Lord wherever we are, even in a difficult place. I know leading a church for many years, there were some people who went through really difficult challenges, and yet their faith and their faithfulness still spoke clearly to people around them. They were still a blessing. So even though they might have been in a period of challenge or even recuperation, they weren't lazy, they weren't disobedient, and they were mightily useful to God because they encouraged those around them. And I encourage you to be like that. We need to act. We need to step up to the mark. We thank God for those who already do step up to the mark. But as you count your big ask, there might be something that God puts on your heart where you feel, I want to be available. I want to just take a step forward. I haven't got so much time, but I've got some time. I've got so much talent, but actually what I've got, I'll make myself available to God, and God will use it. So step up and step out. It's not just a time for listening or looking. It's a time for action, a time to break up the camp. And actually, we need sometimes to give up old things in order to move ahead and be willing to embrace challenge and change. Sometimes things might be less familiar. Sometimes things might be kind of threatening in some way because they're challenging. Well, hopefully you have, as I've said, the same values, but maybe some different ways ahead. But let's make sure we're willing to step up. Be thankful for past blessings. So don't live in the past. I'm always reminded of the danger of building a transfiguration tent. Remember when Jesus took Peter, the three disciples up on the mountain with him, Peter, James, and John, and he was transfigured, and Moses and Elijah were there, and Peter got so kind of excited by it. Let's build three tents, one for you, Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, because it was just a fantastic experience. Can't we just stay here? And then a voice spoke from heaven, this is my son, I love him, listen to him. And it says this, after the voice, when they looked around, they only saw Jesus. There was only Jesus. And it's really important that we are those who step up following Jesus. Not living in the past, not saying, well, I remember. I've got lots of memories, good memories, right? In my Christian walk, in my discipleship, of God speaking to me, touching me. And I thank God for them, but I don't live there. I've got to move on. I've got to hear God's voice from heaven saying, listen, it's a nice place where you've been. I spoke to you clearly. I blessed you. I filled you with my spirit. I spoke clearly to you. But actually, don't live there. Don't put tents up there. Open your eyes. And suddenly it said, they only saw Jesus and they followed him. And that's important for us as well. Don't live in holy places or holy history, even though it was good. Let's move on. So I want to encourage you today as I come to a place now where I'm going to pray for your elders. I'm going to ask God to bless them and encourage them. They're already elders, so I'm not appointing them to something new, but I'll be asking God to bless Tim, especially as he leads the team, but the other elders too. And then I'm going to ask their wives to join. Hopefully they've only got one wife each. I'm going to ask the wives to come and join, and we're just going to pray a prayer of blessing over them. Then we're going to finish with a song. But I want to say this. Many of you have heard many, many sermons, and this has just been another one. Unless you say yes to God in the sense of, Lord, I want to clean up. Maybe there's something you just need to put right. I want also, Lord, to have a listening attitude for new commands, important commands. And also maybe you're just, Lord wants to remind you of looking to him. He's a covenant keeping God. Hallelujah. And also be prepared just to step up and to serve the Lord and to be a blessing to this church and to others. We don't want religion without God. We don't want Christianity without Christ. And we don't want community without commitment. And we need to commit to make sure community works together. May God richly bless you as you obey him and listen to him and you step forward in the days ahead. Let me pray for the church. Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for your faithfulness to this church over decades. Thank you for leaders who have led, who are now no longer with us, moved on in different places. But Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and your desire that you will build your church. And you want this church to be a faithful witness to you and to make a difference in the communities around Shepparton. And I pray, Lord, that we as individuals may just come today to, Lord, just clean up anything that might be dirty. To make sure that we've got a good attitude and listening to any new commands, different voices. But also, Lord, help us not to send fear ahead, but to know that your promises are still there. Hallelujah. And you are faithful. You're a good covenant-keeping God. And I pray, Lord, you'll, without pressure, the people here will respond in a good way and step up and serve you. And this church will be well served by faithful people. Amen.